Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, everybody, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mission Accepted podcast show. I'm so excited today, not only because we have amazing guest, Kyra Rong, but we are in the beginning of a new part of this show. The title, if you haven't caught its attention, is Mission Accepted Entrepreneurs, Altrepreneurs, Creatives, and Media Tell All. So we hear incredible gemstones. We hear incredible stories of people doing extraordinary things. And the beautiful thing about when you decide to take the mission, because that's truly what it is. I'm sure that all of you at some point in your life, whether it was parenting, whether it was a company, whether it was a move, whatever it was, when you got kind of introduced or you got the option to make a decision to take something on that made you quiver, that made you feel like that half your friends were excited and the other half were just staying quiet because they didn't know what to say. When you had that kind of mission and you took it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the interesting thing about this collective of people that take on this mission, rarely is it just one. Rarely is it just one, because if you stay in, the missions keep coming and they change and they vary. And that's exactly one of the reasons why I wanted Kyra to come onto the show today. She's vast. This woman has incredible stories. And let me tell you, I'm going to be like begging for her time to come back more than just once this year. But we just finished chatting not too long ago. And she told me of something that she did in her life, AKA project, that I was very interested in, and I know so will you be. And so I don't want to go too far into it without introducing her first. So Kyra, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. So Kyra, I know that you've got lots of things that you can share, and honestly, it's an open book. This is like sitting on the couch, people. You're going to get an inside ear and scoop to us just sitting here chatting. But if you don't know Kyra, so Kyra is the VP at Manulife, Vice President at Manulife, and she has a project that you wouldn't maybe necessarily think that someone at her level in finance would all of a sudden start. I'm sure she had a few people go, what did you just say?
Yep.
That was a fun, you know, as someone, I think by the time I was 17, I had collected 72 unicorns in my house, and that's maybe why I have the nickname professional hippie, because that's what people used to think it is. But you have a project. Please tell us all about it, and then we'll get into why you're really on the show today.
Sure. I mean, it's called the Magical Unicorn Project. I created it in 2017. That was actually the year I got promoted to a VP capacity at Manulife, which is not an easy thing to do in a company that size. And I was at this place in my career where, you know, you're kind of looking around the top and not just, you know, I mean, Manulife actually does a really good job at supporting women to help move them up and help them rise, but just kind of looking around in the financial space at large and seeing there's really not a lot of women at the top, or there's not a lot of minorities either for that matter. And I thought, you know, I can do something more to help others. I know what it took for me to get where I am today, and I can do something more to help others. And I want to do that. I want to see more diversity and inclusion at the top in leadership positions. So that was really the genesis of how the project started. And then because I am the playful, creative person that I am, I want to go out there and do things in a very different way. Because I know when you do things in a different way, you get a different result. And I have a history of being playful, creative, imaginative, dressing up, doing all kinds of different things to engage an audience. And I just decided I was going to incorporate it into this project because it had worked so well in my career. And really, I chose the unicorn as a symbol of oneness, right? To remind everyone that we are all one and wear a unicorn horn to assert equality and to promote unity and have a higher level of consciousness so that we can, you know, support each other, love each other, and be there for each other. And this spirit of oneness is really essentially what it is at the core.
So interesting, right? It's, and thank you so much for explaining that, because when people see unicorn, they're like, is it the, you know, because we've heard, oh, you're a unicorn, which means you're kind of opposite to that, right? Like you're one of a kind. It's not inclusive. It's like, it's a standalone. Or, you know, is it a true creature? Does it have history? Was it mystical? Some people believe, some don't. And the word unicorn and the color of pink is so associated to unicorn. So thank you for explaining that, because it's actually kind of, when you think about it, when you say it that way, it is a different kind of oneness, right? It's like when you say inclusive.
Yes. And we are, each of us, unicorns. We are all unique. And I think it's great to stand alone in our uniqueness amongst other unicorns. They do exist. They are real. And it's about believing in what's possible. And I'm an example of that as someone who's out there in the financial space. I guarantee you there is not one other person out there in the financial space that's walking around with a unicorn alter ego and getting away with it. I'm here to tell you it's possible. You can do this and not just survive in this space, but thrive in this space.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's interesting. Things have changed so much and they continue to change. And I love that. I mean, you know, when I say that people like yourself come onto the show and drop gemstones, that gemstone that I just heard is about how you used that in a very positive manner in your career, like being different. And there was a time, you know, I remember when you're in school, you know, you wanted to have the same jeans as they did. So you felt part of, you wanted, yes, to have the same jacket. I mean, I remember, you know, Sean Cassidy silk jackets and the root beer shoes. And you're like, Mom, please, can I get them? Cause you wanted to be part of. And then there's been this evolution. Obviously people like you have been leading the forefront on that, on, you know, it's okay to be different. We kind of went through this, not everybody's the same movement, to be authentic movement, to it's okay to stand out movement and be included, where people used to stand out before in school. It was like, oh, you know, here's the cool kids. Here's the smart kids. Here's the, yeah, jocks. Here's the, you know, alternative. They're into different, yeah, music or whatever. And we've really come a long way. That's a really, that, I think that's a gemstone people should be writing down, unless you're driving. Don't do that.
Yeah. And it's human nature. I'll just will say our brains are hardwired genetically. We're a tribal species. We want to belong, and we needed to belong in order to survive back when we were, I guess, caveman or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, so it's, belonging still matters, but what I've learned over time is finding the right sort of tribe to belong with. And I call it, you know, I always say, pick a unicorn tribe and hold on to that vibe. Surround yourself with other unicorns who are going to lift you up and support you in your uniqueness. You're never going to be too bold, too loud, too extra for them. They're going to embrace you. And the ones that judge you are not channeling their inner unicorn, right? They're living in their lower self. I call it the donkey self, right? Because I think of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. So it's a choice, right? It's a choice how we show up. And yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So one of the reasons that we talked about you coming on is that so many people are now starting to find their voice. Yes. They're starting to step into their kind of power. They're part of projects, collaborating. We just had a conversation about that. I'm going to let you tell your story on how this new, not going to say new venture, but this experience came into your life last year. And everybody talks about how they would rather die than public speak. They would rather sit at the back of the bus, you know, or sit at the back of the class, not be the one putting their hand up and Lord forbid, go and having to write on the chalkboard. So you, yes, you know, you clearly have overcome some of that because you're an elegant speaker, and many of us have it on our dream board or in our head and we don't tell anybody, or on that list. We watch podcasts, we listen to podcasts, we watch TEDx speakers, we do all that. Yeah. And then there's a lot of people out there that want to be one and have that experience. And you gave me such an incredible behind the scene view of how you took yourself onto the stage of TEDx. Can you share a little bit about how you decided to go on there and go on representing this unicorn?
the unicorn, right?
Yeah. So, and I just, you know, for the people who watch this, I was always the shy girl. I mean, I was the person at recess in kindergarten that would go and hide up in a tree so I wouldn't have to play with the other kids. I'm an introvert by nature. People in the financial industry who see me don't believe that, but in my heart of hearts, my husband will tell you, I'm like that. Like I'm a Cancer. So I'm a crab. I go under the rock. I'm happy to be alone, not see people. I'm actually very introverted by nature. I can become extroverted to do what I need to do for my job and to be of service to other people. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, but I'm so shy or I'm this or I'm that, I can tell you, yes, I know, me too. And you still can do it. It's possible for you too. Oh my God. So what a journey. So I started the Unicorn Project and, you know, I had a lot of people saying to me, why would you do that? I mean, you've just gotten to this place in your career, like you've built this credibility and now you're just going to ruin it all by going out there. I actually have like a pink hair. I have a horn. I dress up in a costume. I do all this stuff because it's my nature. It's who I am on the inside. I never lost the spirit of my inner child. I'm very much five years old on the inside part of me and very much connected to that little girl. So we do a lot of playing in my imagination. I mean, you can see my office here. Like I do national webinars from here and people are like, are you in a toy store? Like, no, this is like my office. Like all my magical things that make me feel energetic and positive and happy. And I've got all this magic around me. So it makes me feel the most alive, right? It's like it would if you were 5 years old. So, okay. So I knew it was important if I was going to do something to help others to do it in a way that was authentic to myself, whether or not other people understood it or not. And I'm used to being misunderstood and judged, really. I really am. But staying true to myself has always been more important to me than anything else. So it doesn't mean those other things don't necessarily hurt you at times. Of course they can. But it was always more important for me just to stay true to myself. So I was just determined I was going to go out there and do it this way. And I do have a long history of, you know, dressing up in costumes, doing national events like that to engage the audience and deliver a message to them in a way that's unusual and that brings them in, right? Because it's like, what is this girl up to? Like, you know, and so they tune in because I work with mortgage brokers and I am the insurance person. That's not necessarily what they're the most interested in. So I have to find a way to make it fun and engaging for them. So this is sort of, I have this long history sort of dressing up and doing these sort of theatrical presentations. And so I just incorporated it into the project. Now, I didn't have this big, you know, grand idea of, I hadn't figured it all out. I just knew I was going to start and it was going to be all about smashing through the glass ceilings, especially for women. There was three topics I wanted to cover, which is corporate glass ceilings, social glass ceilings, which has to do with the Me Too stuff, and then emotional glass ceilings. And emotional glass ceilings, I think, is the one I'm the most passionate about, because emotional glass ceilings are the limiting beliefs we tell ourselves, and it's what holds us down, right? And we have control over that because it's internal. That's where we have the most power to change things. So I started doing interviews and stuff in social media to address these three issues. I'm putting myself out there. Now, people don't necessarily know what you're up to because they're busy with their own little worlds and stuff. But the fascinating thing that happened was that the people who supported me most in the industry were all leaders themselves. And what I really learned is that, like, leaders go first, right? You know, it's always in the beginning until, you know, guess what? You make a change, and change doesn't happen without disrupting the status quo. You have to break a few eggs to make an omelet, right? So essentially that was what I was doing out there in the world. And there was a female leader in our industry. Her name's Hallie. She's a great girl. And she said to me, you know, I don't really know what you're doing for sure, but I know you're doing something different and I like it. I'm going to support you. And so that was kind of the feedback I would be getting from leaders. So there was a lot of other sort of like, you know, who does she think she is? And but again, to me, you know, this is the donkey noise, right? This is the people who like the status quo, who don't necessarily want to challenge themselves to think bigger. And because I'd had a history of success corporately doing this sort of type of thing with the dressing up and everything, I was very comfortable and convinced that I could be successful doing this too. So that's how that started. And then one day I was approached by someone. I host prior to COVID, I used to host an annual retreat somewhere international, usually Mexico, once a year with all my top performers. And this girl came up to me in security. She saw me there. She goes, "Kyra, I have this book for you." And I said, "Oh," I said, "what's this?" She goes, "You have to write a chapter in this book. You have to do this. You have to share your story. People need to know about the Magical Unicorn Project." So I read the book. I was flying from Vancouver to Cancun. It was a 7-hour direct flight. And I read the entire book on that flight. And I got off the flight and I saw her at baggage and I said, "I'm going to do it." So in 2018 was actually when I launched my project. I launched it in January. In 2018, in the spring, I decided I was going to be part of this book collaboration. And the book came out September that year, became a bestseller. And then, you know, now you've got this bestseller status to add to your resume. And then just from there, you know, I just started getting all these other opportunities to write in magazines. I was being nominated for awards in my industry. All sorts of different things were started to happen. And then I guess last year, I guess because I'd written a chapter in the first book, I got asked to write a chapter in another book by somebody I knew. And so I wrote in another book, Pursuit 365, which was a great experience. And that was a much shorter little writing thing. But as a result of that, someone had read my page. I was on May 16th, and someone read what I had wrote and reached out to me and just said, "I just love what you wrote. I really want to meet you." So here I am, you know, meeting this young girl, and she's young. She's like 29 years old. And she said to me, "You have to do a TED Talk. People have to hear your story." And I thought, yeah, you know, it'd been on my bucket list for a while to do a TED Talk, but, you know, it was always kind of like this monster in my mind. And even though I do public speaking and stuff, a TED Talk is different because I feel like it's so personal and it's a global stage, right? It's not like have an audience of 500 people. That's one thing, but having an audience of the entire world, that feels a lot more intimidating somewhere. So anyways, I had lunch with this girl. She flew off to Europe. She was gone. And then that was it. I was like, "Oh, yeah, I should do this, but I'm not going to do that. That's like way too terrifying." And then she ended up coming back later in the fall and said, "So have you written your TED Talk?" I was like, "No, I haven't even started." Like, she's like, "Oh, you know," like she was disappointed in me. And then I'm like, "Well, but the thing is, you know, if I do make a TED Talk, I don't want to do it without my unicorns on the stage." Here's Sparkle, by the way. You have to meet Sparkle. She's a
Sparkle. Glad you're on the show.
Magical
today.
Creature. She always likes to stay close to me here in the office. So I was like, "What are the chances that they're going to be saying yes to someone having unicorns on the stage with them for a TED Talk?" Anyways, you don't know unless you try, right? So I submitted my application, and I've learned subsequently that 94% of people who apply to do a TED Talk get rejected. And so I didn't really, you know if this is something that was going to happen, but I got contacted. They interviewed me for an hour over Zoom. And by the end of it, they said, "Of course you have to have the unicorns on the stage with you. It's so much a part of your story and your identity," right? And I was like, "Really?" And then from that moment on, mega stress. I was like, "Oh my God, this is happening. I think it might have taken a couple of years off my life, if I'm being honest." So, because I've still got my full-time job, I have children, I have a husband. Now, this was September 1st that I submitted my application, and the date to do the talk was the end of November. So it's kind of a tight timeline. But I did it. You know, I'm not going to say that was an easy thing to do, but it was a gift I wanted to give the world, especially women, and just let them know what is possible. You can't be what you don't see, right? Sheryl Sandberg talks about that in her book, Lean In. And it's so true. So if you think, "Oh, you can't be this creative person and be in a financial space and succeed," yes, you absolutely can. If you believe in yourself and you go out there with passion and enthusiasm and you never give up, it's just absolutely amazing what can happen and what's possible.
Wow, that's such an incredible story that started with you saying yes.
Right? Say yes.
You said yes to this collaboration, which the world is collabing. I mean, my son's in the fashion industry, trust me, they collab. So you got this collaboration because you said yes, because you were inspired. And then you said yes. And then someone called you and you said yes, not really knowing that that was going to end you up on this stage. Now, I got to ask you, because from lots of people out there that had that same thing, like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could do this. So let me get this right. So you said yes.
Yeah.
Within months of them accepting you, which I think it's important for people to know, 94% of people don't get on. Maybe you can share a little bit about the process. Like, I know when I was surprised when there's a sponsorship part to it, and there's a surprise on, there's different ways that they want you to be able to. So maybe people that are out there can be a little bit more prepared. And then I know you went at it alone.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, but there's people out there that, no, I mean, first of all, you're versed, and second, you have a sense of confidence. So you knew somewhere inside you could do this. Would you recommend someone get a coach? Would you recommend someone help people? Like, what was your decision to not go and get a coach? Those kind of things. Maybe share some inside scoop behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny you should say that, because I just went to the dentist last week. So I was doing a lot of clenching at night. So I guess stress because of the TED talk. And I got like this little, a little hole or tiny little something. It was from clenching. So I had to go and get a little filling. And so my dentist, who is very good friends with my husband, knew about my TED talk through him and said, you must have had a coach and you must have done all this practicing and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I didn't even think to do any of that. I did not. I would just say this, I guess it depends what kind of background you have. Like, I'm somebody, my dad was a minister, a preacher. Like, I come sort of from this background of, you know, seeing my dad on the stage and all this stuff. So I think maybe I had absorbed some of that through osmosis from my upbringing. And then I do speak publicly for my job on the stage as well. So it actually never occurred to me to get someone to help me. But beyond that, this talk was so personal for me. I actually kind of think this talk had maybe been on my chest since I was 18 or maybe 8. And I just had to get it off my chest, and I just needed to do it my own way and on my own. It was very much a unicorn solo mission. And so I just approached it from that perspective. So I guess if you don't have any background, then yeah, you might want, there's so many nuances. It's honestly not a talk, it's a performance, because it's about what you're going to say, the message you're going to share with the world. It's also, you know, your body movements, your gestures, your facial expressions, your tone. There's so many like moving parts to it that you don't even realize in the beginning. So for me, once the script was finalized, I had to do it over Zoom for the TEDx organizers. And then they give you little tips, right? Like, for example, they would say, I mean, I've been married or I've been divorced twice. So you can go two, but you can't go this way too, because that is a swear word in a different, you know, country. And because it's a global audience, there's all these things you have to know. I don't point at the audience. The very first time I did my presentation for them, because I say, I see you out there, unicorns, and unicorns in hiding. I was kind of going like this. They're like, no, don't point at the audience, because that's like another bad thing to do for a TEDx. So I kind of do this more of a swimming motion with my hands, right? Little tips like that, and no pacing, don't walk. You know, so I'm used to kind of moving around, I guess left and right when I speak for a national event for work, but they say it's much more powerful not to do that and to have more gestures, right? So think more about your gestures. So there's all these little things. So they gave me a lot of feedback that first time. And so then I only ever had to do it one more time after that to present to them. And they said, no, you're ready. They're like, you're ready to just go out there and do it. So for me, it was actually pretty easy, but I have a lot of stuff just organically perhaps inside of me. If you don't, then yeah, maybe you want to invest in a coach or something like that, because you're probably going to only do this once in your life and you want to be proud of it, right? Like for me, it's going to be extra and it's going to be excellent. And that's the way it has to be, or I don't want to do it. So I would definitely not I would spend the money on it to make sure it's wonderful. And then the other thing is, because of COVID, you can't pack audiences, right? Okay. So they have to keep the audiences relatively light. I mean, And that was, in a way, you know, I guess another reason why it was good to do it in 2021. It's like less pressure. Actually, it wouldn't have mattered. The light is so bright shining on you when you're on that stage. Like my husband was sitting in the front row. I could barely see him because it's so bright. Like it's just like, ah! So, but yeah, they needed, they wanted sponsorship. So I got my client. I have a client that I work with. It's called Dominion Lending Center's group of companies, and they've got three huge mortgage companies, a DLC, Mortgage Center Canada, and Mortgage Architects that are all under that umbrella. So my client actually sponsored my talk, which was a $5 cost, which was beautiful. So it's because my journey is with them too, right? And so to have their logos on my talk, it's really a beautiful thing. So there, yeah, so there was a cost involved.
I mean, those are such incredible tips, because for someone that's thinking about it, you know, you're a big believer in think about comes about. And so if you know, it stops becoming kind of illusionary. It's like, oh, I'd like to be on the stage one day. And listening to you talk, you're like, oh, I could see myself on the stage. I know there's going to be a bright light. Who am I going to get to sponsor this? Okay, they're going to help me with the hand gestures. I'm not going to walk back and forth. I need to keep it concise. And, you know, it was interesting because we shared that some people would want everyone they know in that audience so they could just feel the love. Me on the other hand, I would be actually kind of the opposite, where people that I love, their opinions mean so much. I'd maybe want my yes. kids and then strangers, you know, it's like, which is interesting. I'm thinking about Brene Brown as I'm saying that. And she's like, you got to put those people in the audience, right? You know, but they're just knowing them there would make me more nervous.
100%. I read this article with Lady Gaga talking about how she has this egg. I guess it was from a performance she did or something. And she talks about going into her egg before her performance. And she has no outside distractions, no nothing. And I actually felt exactly the same. I didn't want anybody I knew there. I just felt like it was going to be extra pressure. And even my script, I only shared my script, I think, with three people prior to, because I didn't want outside influence. You know, they really wanted to be organically for me, because people will be like, well, maybe you should say this or don't say that. Oh, that's really like on the edge. I just wanted it to be from me. I didn't want the outside influence. So, but having said that, the three people I shared it with all gave me a little nugget, which I did end up incorporating. So, I mean, but I did go through my own process, and I didn't invite, other than my husband, I invited no one. And I told them, you know, I'm not inviting anybody, and don't be offended. Don't be hurt. This isn't personal. This is just something very personal I'm doing for me. And on that note, I think the reason why maybe 94% of people get rejected is because I think TEDx is really looking for an emotional, vulnerable, personal story. And I think a lot of people aren't maybe truly allowing themselves to be seen, right? To be vulnerable and put yourself out there. And if you've ever read about Brene Brown, when she did her talk on vulnerability, oh my God, she got so much like hate messages and so much negative stuff that came out there, and which is just absolutely unfortunate. I call that, because that is the donkey noise, right?
Yeah.
And people are afraid of that, right? People are afraid of that. So they want to maybe talk about things that are safer. Right. That's not how we change the world, right? They want you to share an idea that can really impact someone else in a meaningful way. So I think you have to be ready to be raw, to be vulnerable, and let yourself unzip yourself. Here I am, and be seen.
I think you've nailed it. And when you said, because haven't we all said, man, I needed to get that off my chest.
Yes.
And or you'll see people, you're like, oh man, I really needed to say that. And you can see that, you know, I know that you're listening, like your hand on your head when people rub their forehead and they're like, man, I really needed to say that, or I really needed to say that. And people touch their chest or their throat area or their hands or what have you. And so to really, I could see how much of a personal experience that would be. If you're doing a TED talk, not just about the subject that you study in, or, you know, financials, or how to compound interest, or, you know, those kind of things, which people watch and people are interested in. And I wouldn't imagine it's such a cathartic, right? It's a cathartic experience when you put yourself out there. So I can see how that 94% falls up. And I could see also the process that people would go through, and why you would say doing one of them would be, you know, enough. Doing one of them would be enough in terms of, you know, letting yourself be seen. That's a big one, right? Wow.
Yeah. And, but I will say, I almost feel, I know this is going to sound like doody, 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 doody. I almost feel like I've had this spiritual awakening since I've done the talk. I feel like one of my core values is freedom, right? Freedom, unity, and justice. Those are three of my top core values. And I've always been this very free person, but I've always been extremely judged in many ways by many people by being this type of person. Like, I think free spirits, Albert Einstein has this quote about, you know, something along the lines like mediocre minds will always try to basically destroy like someone who is a free spirit. I'm butchering that, but it's along those lines. And so I think because I've had so many like attacks and put downs and made fun of and all of those things, not just maybe in my career, but even in my personal life, by people who just don't want to understand, or, you know, don't want to see me succeed, or whatever, you know, it is their issues, right? This was just a way for me to stand really strong in my truth. And now the whole world, no matter how misunderstood I've ever been, I mean, if you watch my talk and want to say, you know, something mean and nasty about me, I just think that's just so on you. That is not on me. And I just feel so liberated to have been able to share my story, because I was going to go out there and continue being successful no matter what, right? But you know, when you're constantly having to fend off criticism and judgment and all that stuff, like, it is tiring, right? It can get tiring over time. But now I feel so peaceful. It's like my story is out there, and, you know, now you can understand me if you want to. And if you don't want to, you're not for me. You know, you're not part of my unicorn tribe, and that's totally okay. And, you know, I just put a circle around you, sprinkle you with pixie dust, and bless and release.
Well, and I think, you know what, that's the part I don't think is talked enough about, because there's a process. I was writing in a magazine recently as well, and they're like, okay, so just write about something that's important to you. And I was like, if I could write about the process of what it's like to go through emotionally as someone, I'll own it, who, like, you know, has been known to be codependent, who cared about what people thought, whose people's impression made impression upon me. And that was just, whether it's generational or culturally or whatever, I care about what people think. And that has a healthy and then an unhealthy side to it. And so it's difficult, or I will own for myself, transparent, going through the levels of success and what people see, right? They see, oh, you used to live here, you live here, you wear this, you wear that, you, whatever it is that they perceive, you are moving through levels of success, which triggers in them whatever reaction it triggers in them, like you said before. Yeah. And then they kind of come at you, and then having to be okay in yourself enough, and you might be fragile. This might be a new place of success for you, or this might be new. And then having to bless and release, or bless and understand, right? And and then still stay contained at a time where Brené Brown, I mean, she talked about having to lie on the couch and watch TV all day, you know? There's people that have eaten buckets of ice cream because they had, you know, a friend say something and you're like, I didn't think that it would be you. I thought it would be them. I didn't think it would be so close to home. How have you survived that? I mean, let's get real. It hurts sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you can blanket it and go, well, okay, because you've got enough good stuff here. But what are some of the survival skills of getting successful have you been able to utilize?
I mean, one of the things you have to, and it will oftentimes be people who are closer to you, right? Those are sometimes the people who will feel less threatened. And I think sometimes too, the more you succeed, the more others can feel less than, right? I had a high school friend reach out to me, and she just said, you know, be gentle with those around you if they're hating on you, because you're a tough act to follow, is what she said. And so, you know, if I can, I think it's really important to look at it with compassion and take my ego out of it. I don't need to have an ego in this. I am doing what I'm doing. I'm doing this for me and to be of service to others. Like, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission, Deborah. And the mission,
yes,
is to be of service to others and help empower others, and especially women, so they know what is possible, right? So that's the mission. That's the most important thing. I'm just a vehicle for which to do this, right? So if the arrows come, if whatever that is that come, I mean, really, it's just people, you know, in their own pain and probably not living up to their own potential as well, right? So they see you out there being free and being successful and doing all these things, and they can internalize that, like, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Comparison is the thief of joy, as they say. So I understand, and it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt at times. Sure, I'm human. I understand it. That's a them thing. That's not a me thing. And the most important thing is for me to keep being out there, shining a bright light, being my sparkly self and helping others. And as long as I always remember that's the most important thing, it's not about me, it's about others and being a service to them, then, you know, the hate is going to hate, but it's not something I'm going to focus on. I'm not going to spend any energy there. I'm going to bless and release them. And you know, eventually, who knows? People always have the capacity to change. I always hope that people will, at some point, you know, get out of that lower self, start to channel their inner unicorn and vibrate up here. It's a totally different life up here. And everybody has the opportunity and can make the choice to channel their inner unicorn.
Absolutely. And I think that's when you talk about mission, when I talk about people that come onto the show, that get the mission and then continue, and the mission continues and it changes and it morphs. Yeah. And there's a process that we go through. And I think, you know, knowing that we're real, like we have feelings, we have lives, we have stuff that goes on with our kids, we have stuff that goes on with our parents, we have stuff that goes on in the economy, you know, all of that stuff happens for people that are making their way. And a lot of the entrepreneurs, creatives, I just call us all creatives. It's kind of a calling. Sometimes you don't even feel like you have a choice. Like, you're on the mission. And you're like, can I have the weekend off? You know what I mean?
Yes.
You got to schedule it off for yourself, because there is a calling to share, do more, be more, so others can share, be more, and do more. I think the generations that are coming up, like this Gen Z generation and everything else, they're just so primed to be able to take things from leaders like you. I was listening to Simon Sinek this morning talking about leaders, how it's one of the hardest jobs, because when something great happens, you give the accolades to those below you. And when something wrong happens, you take on all the responsibility. He goes, it's not unusual that people don't want to be leaders. It's not that sexy. You know, it's really not that sexy.
Yes.
But anyways, in wrapping up, because you've been such an icon unicorn, there's got to be a t-shirt here somewhere, something like that. I want to kind of finish off with a couple things. Is, you know, we do things because we're meant to do things. The mission's there. We know we have a calling. What's been one of the coolest things that's happened? What's one of the surprises, or the just one of, you know, something like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Something really that you'd like to share about.
I would say, you know, I would just say that, go bold. I mean, people are afraid to go bold. It's easy to play small. It feels so much safer to play small. But when you go bold and really show up as your authentic self, it's just amazing how the universe will support you and put opportunities in your path, and, you know, just all kinds of things. Like, it's, and you have to stay aware, obviously. And when opportunities come and everything, you have to say yes. You have to say yes. Okay, I'm going to do that, right? Because the universe is always kind of giving us gifts. But when we go out there in a bold way and show up being a little extra, and I talk about that in my TED talk. If anybody wants to see my TED talk, it's called Be Bold, Be Authentic, Be You, Be a Unicorn in a Field of Horses. So I think embracing our boldness, I think that's where our genius is. And I think there is incredible magic that can come into our lives by doing that. So embrace your bold is what I would say. And then, you know, have your arms open to what the universe is going to bring into your life. And it's going to surprise you.
It will. And so look, you guys, if you want to hear more and be inspired and continued, please. I did watch the TED Talk and we had talked and I went and watched it and I was like, wow, it was just so much more impactful because I have this sense of you, but then knowing what you went through to prepare for that, it just really landed. It's very inspirational, you guys. And yes, Sparkle is on stage. That was the credit. You're like, hey, they wanted the unicorns on stage, but it makes for the talk and it makes for the understanding. And I've said that many times, you know, I'm in the business of inspiring in a different way. And I kind of push people to take risks, like get in the book that we're doing, get in the, you know, get on the podcast that we're doing. Get
so what is this book you're doing? Let's hear about this book.
Oh my gosh. So yes, it is coming. So if you listened to Kyra's story of how she went into a book and then she went into another book and then she got on stage, right? It's just, I think the surprises that happen, you can't foresee coming. I call it providence, right? There's a great, great poem about providence that nothing lines up until you say the yes. So yes. There's a beautiful book, you guys, coming out 200 and guess what it's called? It's called Mission Accepted. Hey, have you heard that name before? It is 262 women, entrepreneurs, creatives and media, rock legacy and tell all. So if you'd like to be in that book alongside incredible people that I just listed on the show, then you want to kind of reach out to me a little bit and I'll help move you past providence and kind of step into your own power. Or if you're someone like Kyra who does it every day and she's well practiced, then come along. So definitely reach out. And so, yes, thank you so much for that. There's an amazing project. There's five books going to market in this coming year. And it is that, right? I talked to a woman 2 days ago who's coming into the book and she's full of nerves. It's her first time for really putting herself out there. And I'm like, so we walk through that, right? We walk through that. And then I tell her, when you say yes to this, other doors are going to open that you didn't even know, because like you said, universal energy, things line up. When you say yes here, things happen there. It's magic. It's just what is. There's, yes. You can describe it or not describe it. You can describe it in atoms and energy, and Joe Dispenza has lots of books on it. And so does everyone. When you hear all of the master motivators, right, on stage and the ones that we listen to, you will hear them say the word energy. You just will, because that's what happens. Or yeah. You'll hear vibe, you know, who's your vibe? Good vibe. You'll hear it. So look, I know that you have to run off. You have a full day and I'm so glad to have been able to grab a little bit of your time. Thank you for sharing. It's such an important piece to put the TED Talk and how you got there and how you made your way and how you live your life and how you handle that. As someone who's had some adversity, I know not just in the world of being a unicorn, and you're going to talk about that. And I love that part about the emotional aspect of it. I love that kind of emotional piece that we carry with us, which can be a barrier to our success. So thank you so much for being with us today. And in anyone out there that's watching or listening, if you feel like you have a spot and something to say and you want to get yourself on Mission Accepted, I would love to hear from you. And for the rest of you, thank you so much. We will see you again next week.
Hey, bye. Thanks, Deborah.
Thanks, Kyra.
A sparkly day. Full of pixie dust.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fantastic.
Okay.
Bye. All right.